It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513. Happy Thursday morning, everybody. My name is John Schmell. Joining me, as always, is Michael Eisen. Michael, how are you?
I'm well, John. How are you?
Very well, very well. We had some news breaking this week. Let's start with the new stuff. The NFL announces kind of their preseason schedule. The Giants know what teams they're playing, but they don't necessarily know exactly what days they'll be playing these teams.
Well, we know the home games, August 24th against the Bears and August 29th against the Patriots. You know, actually, a few interesting things about the preseason schedule. The Jets, we normally play them in the third week. It was moved up to the second week this year.
You know why?
Probably because both the Giants and the Jets have national games in the third week. We're playing the Bears, and I think the Jets are playing Carolina. But both teams have national TV home games that weekend. So MetLife Stadium will be busy the third weekend in August. The finale against the preseason finale against New England is on a Wednesday night because we open the season the following Wednesday night against Dallas. So we've pushed back the preseason finale. So we're playing two rare Wednesday games. And then I think it's odd that Chicago is coming here for a nationally televised preseason game two summers in a row. Remember in the game Terrell Thomas played that was hurt last year, that was an ESPN game against the Bears. Now that the Bears are coming back a year later for a CBS nationally televised game. And then the other thing is, you know, we're going to Jacksonville. Obviously, Tom Coughlin spent 8 years there as a coach of the Jaguars. And, you know, the first six times the Giants played the Jaguars in the preseason, Coach Coughlin was on the other side. Now he's going down with the Giants.
So the only game we don't know the day that it's going to be played then is the Jaguars.
No, we don't know,
right?
The Jaguars or the Jets.
Or the Jets.
Yeah, and the home games, we know the dates. It's up to those teams to choose the dates for the other games. The Jets are the home team this year in the preseason game with the Giants.
So we will wait to see when those games get decided. And I think it's interesting that the Giants, well, obviously they're playing at the Jets, but they'll basically be at home for their final three preseason games. They have a home game, their first regular season game. So basically from August 13th to potentially September 16th or maybe even past that, the Giants will not have to get on an airplane.
Yeah, and we only have to get, because the Jets are the home team, we'd only have to fly to one preseason game, which is nice, which is the Jaguars game. And yeah, my guess is when the regular season schedule is released next week or the week after, the Giants will probably be on the road weeks 2 and 3. That'll be my guess.
Right, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. And obviously that Jet-Giant game always has a lot of interesting side issues and you know, fun things with it. But it's going to be even more interesting now because, you know, you're going to see Tim Tebow for probably at least win that game. So that should add even a little bit more juice to that contest.
Yeah, the Tim Tebow-David Carr matchup, backup quarterbacks, will get a lot of attention now.
Yeah, no question about it, Mike. The Giants also made a move on Monday, bringing in another new safety.
Stevie Brown has some experience with Oakland and then last year with Indianapolis. Like Chris Horton, who was signed a few weeks ago, he was a former seventh-round draft choice. You know, I think you just kind of stockpile these young veteran guys and see if someone steps up and makes a case for, both the roster spot and playing time.
Yeah, I think this third safety spot is going to be an interesting one and one that's going to be a pretty big battle in training camp, Mike, between Chris Horton, who they signed a couple months ago, or a few weeks ago, rather, Tyler Sash obviously making his way back, and now Stevie Brown. So the Giants have three guys, and who knows if they had anybody else in the draft or they bring in somebody else via free agency. That's going to be a pretty fierce battle.
Yeah, and don't forget, his name slips my mind right now, the young man who was in the auto accident
Chad Jones.
Chad
That's right.
Jones. He's supposed to be healthy and going to be making a comeback. So that's another safety. And then we still have the draft. You know, I mean, I read the letters I'm getting, you know, on Giants.com, and people are kind of, well, what are we doing about this? What are we doing about that? And hey, people have to realize we're still more than 3 months from training camp. There's a whole lot of time left to make moves. And, you know, I think you'll see a couple of safeties coming and going before the start of training camp.
Now, I think, and you're right, the Giants have to be patient here. You can't decide who else you're going to add via, for example, free agency until you know who you're going to get in the draft. And with the Giants picking at the very end of that first round, they obviously have no idea who they're going to get in that spot.
Yeah, and I think, you know, getting to that time of the off season where the draft is so close now, most teams are just going to wait and see what happens in the draft and with the rookie free agents afterward and then kind of fill in after that.
Do you think there's any chance, or an increased chance rather, that the Giants might decide to trade or move that pick considering where it's positioned at the end of the first round?
An increased chance, who knows? I really couldn't say, but is there a chance? Yeah, there's always a chance if there's a player they like. To me, they're more likely to move back and stockpile a pick, you know, get an extra pick, but that's just a guessing game. You know, look, if there's somebody at 28, 27 that they really like, you know, maybe they can move. They do have a fourth-round supplemental pick. They can't trade the supplemental pick, but they could trade, you know, their other pick.
Now, the preseason schedule announced, Mike, the regular season schedule gets announced the week before or after the draft?
Usually prior to the draft. I think it'll be the week of the 16th, so 2 weeks. But I would think 2 weeks from today when we're sitting here, we'll know the schedule.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting to see. The Giants have a lot of, I mean, we always talk last year how the last half of last year's schedule is really tough. You look at the Giants' opponents coming up this season, between the NFC South, which really has three good teams and only one potentially weak team in Tampa Bay, though they made the postseason back in 2010, so who knows. Mm-hmm. The AFC North can be very tough. The Bengals were much improved last year. The Browns obviously have had their issues, but it's going to be another very, very tough schedule. Not a lot of breaks there.
Well, we're playing the first-place schedule, so, you know, once again, we have New Orleans because we're playing the NFC South, and then we have to host Green Bay and go to San Francisco again. And the AFC North had three playoff teams last year. The Bengals were joined the Steelers and the Ravens in the playoffs. Carolina is an up-and-coming team with Cam Newton. Tampa Bay has a new coach, and they've signed several free agents. You know, I'm sure the schedule will be backloaded again, but I don't know that you could point to many easy games in the front of the schedule.
Yeah, exactly, and on the road, they have tough matchups. In Giant Stadium, they're going to have – in a MetLife Stadium, rather, they're going to have some tough matchups. And you got to wonder who the national TV game is going to be, which is always interesting. Who the primetime game is going to be is interesting.
Yeah, the thing I'm interested in seeing is really the breakdown between, you know, 1 o'clock games and late games and night games. You know, I figured as defending champions and with the attractive opponents that we have, we're going to get a lot of night games and a lot of 4 o'clock games. On the other hand, you know, let's be honest, the Jets have Tim Tebow, who's a big TV attraction, so the Jets may get a lot of 4 o'clock games, which would put us at 1 o'clock, and I'm very happy to play at 1 o'clock. So.
Well, I'd love to have a lot of 1 o'clock games, too, and I think a lot of Giants season ticket holders like the 1 o'clock games to boot.
Yeah, 1 o'clock October games are very popular.
Yeah, and you know, once you get to December, at least the sun's still out, you know, you get to those 4:15 games end of December, it's getting dark around 5:15, 5:30, and people are, you know, what in the stands, freezing.
Yeah, but, you know, realistically, you look at some of these matchups. Well, obviously, San Francisco is certainly going to be my guess is San Francisco is going to be a night game late in the year.
Hopefully, yeah.
You know, Green Bay, right. I would be stunned if Green Bay was like a 1 o'clock game in early October. I think Green Bay will be a late game, you know, late in the year again. So they're just – there are so many good teams on the schedule. There are so many candidates for primetime or 4 o'clock feature games.
Though it's funny, you know, and you talk about that, the league does like to put the division games, though, as many as possible in December. And we're already getting one Dallas game in September, obviously the season opener. So you figure you're going to get probably at least one game against Washington and Philly, if not two against one of those teams in the month of December, and then maybe the last Dallas game as well.
Well, the thing I'm kind of wondering about Dallas, and again, I'm just guessing. I have no inside information on this. But
Fox has to get one of these games.
Well, and the way you guarantee that is you can put the Giants on Thanksgiving down there because Fox will have that game.
Yeah, but the Giants, usually they don't like to make teams travel on Thanksgiving. That many, I mean, we were in Denver on Thanksgiving just 3 years ago. That's not that long ago.
Yeah, well, look, John, every team this year has to play a Thursday game, and our Wednesday game doesn't count as our Thursday game.
I was going to ask you, that doesn't count?
It does not count. So we will be playing.
I thought it did.
We will be playing a Thursday game at some point. So you want to give Fox a Giants-Cowboys game, put it on Thanksgiving. That way nobody, you know, it's guaranteed to stay there.
That's interesting.
But, yeah, we'll be playing another game. That's another thing to factor into the schedule.
I thought the home opener counted as the Thursday game.
I've been told that it does not count as our Thursday
game. No, honestly, I didn't read it anywhere. I just kind of assumed. But I guess with the three games, because my thought was that there would, if it didn't count, they'd run out of games. But they have the three on Thanksgiving, and that provides more opportunities then.
So, you know, again, it'll be interesting how they work all these Thursday games now. And I think there'll be a couple Saturday games, too.
Yeah, late in the year, right, in December, which is always fun once the college football season wraps up. Mike, I want to hit a couple questions in the mailbag. And, of course, you can check out Eisen's mailbag every Tuesday and Thursday on Giants.com. Tuesday, the written version. Thursday is the video version, which we'll be shooting shortly after the show is over. And we're going to go through some of these good questions, Mike. This one comes in, and they want to know why the Giants were not able to re-sign Devin Thomas.
David
Plaskin sends that in, by the way.
You know, I guess I don't know the intricacies behind the scenes, but I would guess the Bears swooped in and gave him more money than the Giants were prepared to give him. And, you know, I thought Devin Thomas was good in a limited role last year, primarily on special teams. After he was signed in Chicago, I read the Chicago Tribune, and they were talking about Devin Thomas is going to do this as the third receiver, and Devin Thomas is going to do this. And, I mean, well, if Devin Thomas could do all that, he'd be a star in this league. And, you know, he frankly, as a second-round draft choice, Devin Thomas has not shown a whole lot as a receiver, in my opinion, in this league. And
but he is good at recovering fumbles at NFC Championship games.
Yes, he is. He is. And but I guess for that potentially limited role, the Giants were not willing to overpay.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Joseph in Brooklyn. Joseph, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
So I'm bleeding blue since 72.
Nice.
And I have a quick question.
Sure.
I remember years and years ago, the Jets-Giants preseason game, always huge here in New York, but we used to call that game the Mayor's Trophy game. They had a trophy that they awarded to the winner. And I noticed over the last couple of years, they haven't been calling that game between the Jets and the Giants the Mayor's Trophy game anymore, and I haven't seen them award the trophy. So I was curious what's going on with that.
I think we're going to call it the MetLife Bowl from now on. Yeah, it's a trophy.
Seriously? It is a MetLife Bowl. Seriously, they named it the MetLife Bowl last year because obviously the two teams are sharing the same stadium.
Yeah, the mayor of East Rutherford doesn't have a trophy, so it's now the MetLife Bowl.
They tried, but there wasn't enough room in the budget.
Yeah, I think that was what you referred to was when they were both playing in New York City itself. And, since the move to New Jersey, New York City's not getting involved with the Mayor's Trophy game in New Jersey.
Because that was always kind of exciting to see who had the trophy, and they had, like, a unique little trophy.
Well, the game's still exciting without it. And, you know, like we say,
there is a trophy. Snoopy's actually on it.
Snoopy, there's a MetLife trophy with Snoopy on it. Yeah.
In other words, what you're saying is the corporate-sponsored trophy game now?
Yeah.
It's the MetLife Bowl.
It's in MetLife Stadium. You know, everything has a corporate sponsor now. So the Jets-Giants preseason game is no different.
Yeah, I wish I could get a corporate sponsor to get me some season tickets to the Giants games.
All right, Joseph, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. 201.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. This question comes in from Jim Sandham, Mike, and he's going to list off a bunch of free agents here. London Fletcher, Dallas Clark, Vernon Carey, Cedric Benson, Neil Rackers, Sean Rogers, Brian Edwards, Bob Sanders. Any chance the Giants decide to make a move for any of these guys in free agency? Obviously, most of these guys are veterans that are probably either at the very end or past their prime.
Yeah, I would say that particular list that you just read me, I would say no. You know, you're always trying to get younger and more athletic, and I don't think those guys qualify. And, you know, frankly, you know, with some of these guys that the Giants have brought in like that, you know, Keith Bullock 2 years ago, you know, really, how much do you get out of those guys at this point? And as we just talked about, it's so close to the draft, and there's still plenty of time left before you line up in training camp. So I would be stunned if a move was made anytime soon for somebody like that.
This question comes in from Zach Hadaz. He wants to know, Mike, with such a late pick in the first round, is it still possible to get a great player in the NFL draft?
Sure, it's possible to get a great player in the seventh round in free agency after the draft.
Tom Brady, Tony Romo.
Yeah, you can certainly get a great player at 32 or anywhere else in the draft. Wasn't Matthias Kiwanuka, I mean, not that I'm not telling him a great player, but I think he was a 32nd pick in the draft. He's been a pretty productive player.
I have to laugh at this question from James Murray. Which free agent, so you got to laugh, which free agent loss for the Giants hurts the most? I've seen lots of clips of Devin Thomas firing up his teammates by cheering on the sideline.
Well, that was probably another reason the Bears signed him. They needed a cheerleader.
But he does one of the I don't think he's been more successful as a wide receiver during his career.
Why hasn't he?
Yes, that's the more serious part of that question.
You know, I don't know. You know, we just met as a second round draft choice. You would have thought he'd have more than 40 something catches after however 4 years. Maybe he was just overrated coming out of college. I don't know. He has not become a standout receiver, but he has settled nicely, to his credit, into a role as a returner and a special teams player, and that may be just what he is. And he's very good at it.
201-939-4513. Jeff's up in Rhode Island. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, good morning, guys.
What's up, Jeff?
Happy Easter.
Thank you, you too.
I was on the website yesterday, and I was just checking out the some of the photographs that they had posted in regards to the Giants' uniforms over the years. Mm-hmm. And I was really, really, really very pleased to see a specific picture, which I'm sure many of the older Giants fans were pleased to see as well. It had Fran Tarkenton and Joe Kuntz and the late Joe Morrison. I don't know if you saw that on the web yesterday, but that was a really nice color picture that they had. I guess it was an old AP photo. And, you know, I don't know if you're involved in, you know, how much you're involved in the website, but I really like to see some pictures of the old Giants from the 60s. That's when I started following them when I was a kid. I think some of the older fans would appreciate something like that.
Yeah, well, we've got some old photos up there, and, you know, I know that we're doing our working to expand the history section on the website and do a year-by-year you'll have a year-by-year summary of the Giants' history. But, yeah, we appreciate the comment, and we are trying to improve the historical section of the website.
Yeah, well, I get a real big charge out of it, so thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
All right, Jeff, take it easy, man. We appreciate it. And I'm just scrolling through these pictures now, Mike, and how the uniform has kind of changed over the past years. And obviously this week Nike unveiled this year's version of their version of the Giants uniforms. Not a lot of changes.
No.
A couple bells and whistles here there. It's like water resistant, which I think is pretty cool. But for the most part, I think Nike gets the fact that the Giants have a lot of tradition, a traditional organization, and they're sticking with what they know what works, and they've dealt with us, and they know what the Giants want, and the Giants jerseys still look like Giants jerseys.
Yeah, they're not going to go all University of Oregon on us and give us 43 uniform combinations. And lots of wacky colors, but uniform changes have to be approved by the league anyway. Nike just can't come in and design what they want and just...
And teams, too, for that matter. Yeah. Teams tell Nike what they want, then Nike delivers.
Exactly. And, yeah, the Giants are always going to be pretty conservative when it comes to uniforms. We like the uniform the way it is. You know, there have been hints that perhaps we'll have an alternative jersey in 2013. Nothing's been confirmed. And, who knows if that'll happen. The big change is the most noticeable change this year is going to be the fact that you can wear shoes in the gray, blue, and the red. You don't have to wear the black shoes. So it'll be kind of neat to see, like Victor Cruz at the news conference the other day was wearing the shoes in Giants colors. And I thought they looked – I'm a bit of a traditionalist myself, but I like the colorful shoes.
Yeah, you have the shoes that match the color pattern, the uniforms. And, again, in the past you had to either wear white or black in terms of the cleats. Now you can finally mix that up a little bit, which I think is pretty cool.
And I thought what Nike did with the gloves is pretty neat. When you put up the palms, they have the emblems of the teams. I think that's the N and the Y in the palm of the glove.
Well, the one thing about Nike is that they aren't going to do anything small, and they certainly do their due diligence. You know, you can say other things about them that some people might not like, but they put out a good product, and it looks like they're doing that again with these NFL jerseys. Mike, we appreciate the time as always.
Okay, John.
Get those mailbag questions ready for our little video segment later.
All righty, thank you.
And We'll see that on the web later on today. There's Michael Eisen right here on Giants.com. My name is John Schmelk. We thank everybody for joining us today. But before we say goodbye, earlier in the offseason, I had a chance to sit down with Giants offensive lineman Kevin Booth, and I talked to Kevin about his return to Big Blue. You've had a chance to reflect now for a couple weeks after the Super Bowl. As you look back at the wild journey, what is it that sticks out in your mind the most?
I think it's just the road. It wasn't easy. No one said it was going to be easy, but it's a close-knit group that stuck together and played our best football when it mattered most.
If there's one play that you can label the turning point, when you think everything kind of changed, what do you think it would be?
If I had to pick one, I feel like there were a few, but if I had to pick one, I'd say it was Victor Cruz's touchdown against the Jets. It was 3rd and 10. We're backed up, so I think it was that the 99-yard touchdown against the Jets.
Now, obviously, the easy favorite moment is winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
Is there a little smaller thing along the way that you remember from the run that'll always stick out to you?
Wow. Maybe the Hail Mary against the Packers. I've never been a part of a Hail Mary that worked, so to see that was pretty cool. So I think that was another one that kind of sticks out.
So what's the secret to having a successful Hail Mary play? Do you know?
I guess 4X gloves by your wide receiver. I think that's always a good thing.
All right, the offensive line had an interesting year. Some injuries, you had to move in, Deal moved around. As you went through the year and you look back now, what does it say about your group that you were able to actually get better as the year went along, despite the fact there were so many moving parts?
Well, I think it's just the determination of the group. We're nowhere near where we wanted to be or where we expected to be throughout the course of the year, even up through the Super Bowl. So, but we did make improvements as the year went on, and we were able to give our offense a little bit of balance that made us a little bit tougher to defend. So, it was just that determination and grit and resiliency. But we're looking forward to improving on that this year.
If I would have told you that the team would win a Super Bowl and you guys would be ranked 32nd in the league running the football, what would you have said to me?
If you said we won, I'd say great. But, it definitely stings a little bit. We have a great deal of pride in the offensive line group. So, we understand that we have to get better, and we will. And, we started that process over the last course of the year. We look forward to going back to where we belong, which is in the top part of the NFL and rushing the ball.
What do you think was missing? What do you guys need to do better?
I think it was just a matter of being consistent. I think cutting out the negative yardage plays, I think that we started to do that as the year went on, and I think that that's when we started to improve. So just become more consistent, and we don't have to give those guys a lot of room. We have a lot of talent back there in the backfield, so we just got to let those guys do what they do.
I know he's not on the offensive line, but a guy you work with a lot is Henry Hinoski. Right. I thought he showed a ton of improvement during the year as a lead blocker.
Yeah, he definitely has. He's going to be a great player. He missed a few games in the middle of the year, and then when he came back, it seemed like our offense started to pick up a little bit. So we're excited to see what he can do this year coming up.
How about you personally? Are you more comfortable now with guard, center? Do you care? If you had a position, which one would it be? What do you think?
It doesn't matter. I'm just fortunate enough that this organization, this coaching staff, lets me play. So that's always what the goal is. So wherever they want me to play next, that's my new favorite position.
So how did Kevin Booth celebrate the Super Bowl championship? What did you do?
You know, it's funny. I thought that I would know what to do this time, because I felt like I didn't know what to do last time. But it was more of the same. Disbelief, a blur, and then I actually spent the wee hours of the morning after the game watching SportsCenter and watching interviews. So that's how I spent my Super Bowl post-game.
Difference between the first and the second, which one was better, if you can really categorize it that way? How are they different?
Well, they're definitely different. Different teams, different atmosphere. But I guess this one sticks out more to me, I guess, because of the fact that I was a starting player this time around rather than just playing special teams. So I think that was a big difference. So, I think this one will hold a little bit of a special place in my heart compared to the last one.
So some celebrating going in the locker room. That was Devin Thomas, singing,
yeah.
Which is always fun. Now, finally, off-season plans. You got any big vacations planned? What's Kevin Booth going to do in the off-season to relax a little bit before you have to get back here and get back into the off-season regimen?
Actually, won't be much relaxing. We're expecting our second child in about 3 weeks. So that'll be my off-season, chasing around an 18-month-old and a newborn. So, but I'm looking forward to it. It should be exciting.
Get some sleep in now.
Right, that's exactly the point.
Kevin, appreciate it.
You got it.
Giants offensive lineman Kevin Booth right here on Giants.com. We thank you for joining us today on Big Blue Kickoff Live. It comes your way every day from 10 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com. Now, we will not have a show Friday or Monday because of the Easter holiday, but we will be back next week starting on Tuesday, and then we'll have a show every week up until the draft, of course. April 26th, I believe, is the first night of the draft. Is that correct? Thursday, April 26th. We will have a show that morning and Friday morning. And then we'll be at the draft that night. We'll have our special draft night program on Thursday night, which should be a lot of fun. And we'll start getting some draft experts on the next few weeks to talk some NFL draft. It should be a lot of fun. Paul Dottino will join us. Mike Lison will join us every week, of course. And we'll try to get some guys from around the league as well. And maybe a couple of Giant beat guys to come on as well. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us today on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.